You can choose the sin, but only God can choose the consequence.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's message by Pastor Brian Grant finds the city of Samaria in a desperate situation. As the sixth chapter of the second book of Kings has it, the city is enduring a siege by the king of Syria that has reduced the population to a state of gruesome cannibalism. Truly, God's word does not shy away from telling the good, the bad, and the ugly. But though the scene in Israel and the time of the prophet Elisha is dire, Pastor Grant's message is a message of hope for that erring Christian who may be enduring seemingly hopeless circumstances as the result of bad decisions and turning away from God's way in the past. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Kings and follow along as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message of hope, "It ain't over till God says it's over." Here now is Pastor Grant.
One morning, a police officer pulled over a speeding driver. And after he pulled him over, he said to the driver, "I clocked you at 85 miles an hour. The driver said, "That's hard to believe because I had my cruise control set at 65. So I suspect that your radar gun isn't working properly." His wife was seated beside him. His wife chirped in, "But we don't have cruise control." Well, that was a $250 fine. And, you know, the husband was upset that the wife had ratted the fact that he doesn't have a cruise control after he claimed he had set his cruise control. So she said, "By the way, you should be glad that your radar detector went off when it did." The policeman said, "Well, radar detectors are not legal in this state. That's another $150 fine." Well, it was starting to pile up. And, you know, he started shouting at his dear wife. And the police, while all this commotion was going on, the police looked and she noticed that his seatbelt was buckled. He said, "Sir, notice your seatbelts aren't buckled." He said, "That's an automatic $150 ticket. He said, "Sir, officer, I had my seatbelt on, but when I saw you pulled me over and you were heading for my car and you're going to ask me for my license plate, so I only pulled the seatbelt to get my license out of my back pocket." The wife said, "But honey, you never put on your seatbelts when you drive." Well, the poor man, he was really mad now. He started shouting at his wife and carrying on. The policeman looked at the wife and she said to him, "Does he always speak to you like that?" She said, "No, only when he has been drinking a lot." I'm sure you know what happened next. In a very short time, things went from bad to worse. And you know, that's how life is sometimes. And this morning, as we celebrate our 2020 graduates, I'd like to leave two important lessons with you as we consider the theme, "It ain't over till God says it's over." It ain't over till God says it's over. And if you're following the notes, their notes in the bulletin, we have brought them back this week. Here's the first thing I want to bring to your attention this morning. When I picked this theme, I didn't know this was going to be your graduation Sunday. And so I'm going to try and do two things in one message. I want to say a few words, quite a number of things I'll be addressing to the graduates. So those of you who are graduates, you may be watching online, you pay attention because a lot of what I have to say has been redirected to you. But here's the first thing I want to bring to your attention. Rebelling against God always has consequences. You know, after young people graduate from high school, many of them, they seek freedom. Am I right about that? They seek freedom. And sometimes a young person, one of the ways that they seek freedom, sadly, is that sometimes they turn against God, they turn away from God, and they turn away very often, they turn away from a lot of the spiritual values they were raised with. But I want to say to the graduates, the 2020 graduates, I want you to make sure that you don't make any mistake, because rebelling against God always has serious consequences. You know, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, and I want you to make a note of this verse. Just here's a little phrase in this verse. I hope this will be embedded in every person's mind this morning. It says here, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Listen, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and because you're seeking freedom and you turn away from Him, I want you to know that the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, just yesterday I heard the story of a young lady who received Christ at 14 years old when she was in Bible club. And, you know, she did such a wonderful job getting her friends to come to Bible club. And she went along fine until she graduated from high school. And after she graduated from high school, she rebelled. She turned away from God. She sought her freedom. Here's the tragedy of the story. They found her this week in an abandoned building. She was just 26 years old. She was dead in an abandoned building. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, from experience, the way of the transgressor is hard. In our text this morning, the verses have already been read. And I think everybody realizes that the way of the transgressor is hard. You see, what had happened, Israel had rebelled against God. And I want to just read two verses for you as we move along. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. It happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army. He went up and besieged Samaria. And this whole issue of besiege, he surrounds it. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and fourth of a cab of dove's droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Can you imagine? Because of their rebellion, Israel had rebelled against God. And because of their rebellion, God had moved his hand of protection from them. And he had allowed their enemies, the Syrians, to come and attack them. My friend, when you start rebelling against God, you can expect that God is not going to protect you the same way he always does when you're walking close to him. He allowed the enemy to attack them, and Ben-Hadad, he decided he was going to bring Israel to their knees. And what he did, he surrounded the city. No food or supplies could get into the city. And after a while, the people in Israel were on the brink of starvation. He was besieging, surrounding their capital city of Samaria. The people were on the brink of starvation. Can you imagine? A donkey's head was selling for 80 pieces of silver. That's 2.5 times what Judas got to betray Jesus. In fact, I read somewhere, I don't know how accurate this is, one commentator said it was the equivalent of 10 months' work for an average worker. Can you imagine that? A donkey's head. Now, I'm not even into the fish's head. Some people love the fish's head. There ain't no meat in the fish's head. So I'm not into it, and I'm not about to suck the fish's eye. Now, I know some of you love that. But in my mind, there ain't nothing to eat in the fish head, and I don't see anything much to eat in the donkey's head either. I guess if in the donkey's head, you probably could have had a donkey ear sandwich or some donkey tongue stew. But the donkey's head is bad enough. But would you want dove's poop on your table? I don't know what they were doing with dove's poop. I said perhaps they were making an organic salad from it. It could be that there were some good nutritious seeds in the droppings, because the dove probably did eat quite a bit of seeds. I don't know what they did with the dove droppings, but suffice it to say that these people were paying big money for dove's droppings. Things were that bad. Their back was against the wall, and it was all because they had rebelled against God. Let me ask you, as we pause just for a moment, those of you listening to me right here this morning, or those watching this program on the internet, are you rebelling against God? Are you living in sin? Have you slipped? Have you started to stray? Are you starting to do your own thing? Listen, don't forget, the way of the transgressor is hard. You can choose the sin. Put this down. You can choose the sin, but only God can choose the consequence. And I've said that before, and I'll keep saying it, because I want this riveted in our hearts. You and I can choose to sin, but only God can choose the consequence. And Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 tells us, be sure your sins will find you out. My friend, none of us are going to get away. Listen, I'm not pretending like I'm some saint, because I've done my fair share, but I've come to find out that my sin does find me out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Listen, but as bad as things were, the donkey's head and the dove's poop was nothing compared to what was now about to happen. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 26, did you see what happened there? As the king was passing, a woman cried out. And what's troubling you, he said. So the lady answered, verse 28. The woman said to him, this woman said to me, give me your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. It wasn't just idle talk. The lady said, so we boiled my son and ate him today. And the next day I said to her, it's your son now. And she has refused to give me her son so we could eat him. Man, this is hard to believe. Mothers who should be protecting their kids were now eating them. How revolting. I am here to say to you, my young friend and older one, the way of the transgressor is hard. This was an absolutely horrible situation. And this situation only came about because Israel had decided to rebel against God.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
It seemed like it was all over. Can you imagine? You put yourself in that situation. You're starving to death. Things are so bad that you are cannibalizing your own children. Think of how bad that was. Their back was against the wall. It's just as if there was absolutely no hope, but it ain't over till God says it's over. Somebody say amen. My friend, I may be talking to somebody this morning and you're going through drama, drama, drama. I just want you to know, no matter how bad your situation might be, it's not over till God says it's over. So let me take a minute now to talk to you about how to experience hope in hopeless situations. Put that down. How to experience hope in hopeless situations. I want to take time to share four important steps with you this morning. Four important steps from this text as we learn how to experience hope in hopeless situations. First, learn that worldly sorrow does not move God's hand. I hope you hear me. Worldly sorrow. You know, problems in life are not always because of sin. But let's be clear, sinful behavior is right at the top of the list. And Israel was going through tough times because of sin. And it appears from the text that Israel was now trying to make God believe that they were sorry for their sin. You know, the whole idea, if God feels I'm sorry for my sin, he may step in and give me some help. He may rescue me. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 30. It's a very interesting verse. 2 Kings 6, verse 30. When the king heard the words of the woman, that he tore his clothes, and as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath, he had sackcloth on his body. What's the big deal about the fact that the king had sackcloth? He was wearing sackcloth under his clothes. Well, I don't know if you know what sackcloth is, but sackcloth is a very coarse black cloth made from goat or camel's hair. It's okay to have a camel's hair jacket, but you don't want to have a camel hair underwear, okay? And this was underwear. It was uncomfortable to wear. It was rough against your skin. It was like a grater against your skin. And so people only wore camel's hair under their garments. The only reason you would put a sackcloth against your skin is for two primary reasons. One, because you were mourning, and you're mourning, so you don't mind being, it's almost like you're paying some, you're willing to take some pain. It's a sign of mourning. But here's the most bigger reason. You wore sackcloth as a sign of repentance. You're really making a statement to God. And usually you wore sackcloth as a sign of repentance. And King Jehoram's back was against the wall. And I believe he was wearing sackcloth, trying to convince God that he had repented. But it was a sham. You say, Pastor, how do you know it was a sham? Because in verse 31, he says here, he said, then he said the king, go do so to me and more also, if the head of the Elisha, the son of Shaphath, remains on him today, with all his sackcloth as a sign of repentance. Listen, he was so mad when he heard how bad things had got. He says, I'm going to kill Elijah. I'm going to kill God's prophet. This man had not repented at all. You know, there's a lot of fake repentance today. You know, when our backs are against the wall, oh, I've spoken to so many people, I've heard so many stories of individuals, when they're back against the wall, they make all sorts of promises to God. Have you heard stories like that? Oh, God, if you deliver me, oh, God, if you heal me, I will serve you the rest of my life. Oh, God, just help me out in my financial distress, and I promise God I'm going to be faithful in my giving. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody this morning and you've made all sorts of promises to God as to what you will do if God delivers you, but you ain't done diddly yet. You see, there's a lot of fake repentance. People are in trouble and they come to church and tears are streaming down their faces and we feel so sorry for them and we're saying, oh God, they're repenting, help them. But a lot of the times there is no repentance. It's just like the boy who got caught with his hand in the cookie jar and he started to cry, oh mommy, I'm so sorry. He ain't sorry that he was sinning, he's sorry he got caught. And sometimes that's how it is with us. We're only sorry that we're in a problem. We're not sorry that we rebelled against God. We're not sorry that we're grieving the heart of God. That's not what is moving us. But this morning, what God is asking for, my friend, as you listen this morning, God is asking those of us who are living in sin, those of us who have turned our back on him, he's asking us to make a true repentance. Listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm going to put that on the screen for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And here's how it reads in the New Living Translation. It says, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin. Somebody say that. Leads us what? Away from sin and results in salvation. There is no regret, the Bible says, for that kind of sorrow. But listen, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Some parents can easily be fooled. And I won't tell no tales on my brothers or myself, but there were members of my family, I won't say if it's me, to protect the innocent. But some members of my family were masters at fooling my parents. But I tell you, they knew how to put on a great display. More often than not, my father was not very easily fooled because he usually was committed to give the discipline no matter what the story was. But I've seen people and they fooled their parents so perfectly. You may fool your parents, but you're not going to fool God. Worldly sorrow will not move the hand of God. And so I just want to say to somebody today, somebody whose back is against the wall, I just want you to know that this morning, if you're seeking deliverance from God, deliverance from your hopeless situation, I want you to know that the first step to receiving God's deliverance is for true repentance. You not only are sorry for your sin, but you make a decision to turn away from your sin and to turn to God. Listen, number one, if we're going to experience God's hope, we must recognize worldly sorrow does move the hand of God. But second, we must learn to wait patiently on God. Amen? I'm reading in verse 32 of the text, 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha was sitting in his house. Elders were sitting with him. The king sent a man ahead of him, but before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, do you see how this son of a murderer, Elisha, God, listen, God has already revealed to Elisha that the king wants to kill him. You see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. It's not the sound of his master's feet behind. And while he was still talking, the messenger came down. And then the king said, the king was right behind the messenger. And here's what the king said. Surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Now, this is a most amazing statement. Because the king was acknowledging that what they were facing was the consequence of their rebellion. He is admitting, he is recognizing that this is coming from God. This is a consequence of my rebellion. But instead of seeking God's deliverance, the king said, I ain't waiting on God anymore. You know, I've been wearing my sackcloth. I've been doing all the, I'm going through all this posturing and nothing has happened. God hasn't done anything. I ain't waiting on God any longer. I am going to take matters into my hand. And sadly, he's not unique. For I've met scores of people, many who are Christians, who got tired of waiting on God and decided to take matters into their own hands. But here's the irony in this story. Look with me at chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. I need to make sure you're getting what is going on here. Elisha said, tomorrow, food is going to be so plentiful that everything's going to be cheap. Prices are going to plummet because in 24 hours, there's going to be such a surplus of food. Everybody will have food and there will be food to spare. And the prices, because you know about demand and supply, prices are going to fall through the floor. Wow, wow. Get this, folks. At the very moment that the king has decided to take matters into his own hands is the very moment that God was just about to deliver them.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.